Hi guys, I am back with part deux of my series entitled How to Have a Normal Relationship with a Woman. In part one, we already covered the fact that normal isn't what most men want or need, and a matter of fact that a normal relationship is the gateway to red pill thinking. And I don't mean that in a good way. Normal is foobar. And even if we want a long shot at creating a serviceable relationship with a woman, we've got to think and operate outside the dysfunctional box. And I suppose in starting here, I should cover a couple of things that I didn't mention in part one. First, I have to assume that everyone listening to me knows I am not suggesting under any circumstances that any man marry any woman, or that he ever make himself legally vulnerable to her via common law or any other legal device. Whether or not a woman ever pulls the trigger of the gun that the state puts in her hand, or whether she ever would, is irrelevant. There's no such thing as a fair, functional relationship when one party has the brute force of the state behind them and the other doesn't. Functional doesn't include having a sword dangling above your head by a string that your partner can cut anytime she gets the urge. After all, what thinking, self-respecting human being would enter a relationship under those conditions? Also, please keep in mind that I'm not suggesting or encouraging that anyone should be in a committed relationship. This is very much an I report, you decide proposition. My views are offered knowing that most men are going to opt for relationships in one form or another, but that your choices are none of my business. That addressed, I remind you that in part one, I stressed the fact that I approach all of this as an inside job for men. We assume that there are no unicorns out there, no perfect woman whose nature and personality will immunize you from gynocentrism. So we enter this realm aware that it's on you to handle these things like a values-driven boss, not depending on women to modify their behavior without your taking a somewhat rigid, principled stand. The best way to start making yourself that boss is to shore up your family of origin issues, particularly with mothers, to ditch the concepts of romantic love and modern chivalry, and to unsubscribe from the outmoded, insanely erroneous narrative that girls are sugar and spice, and therefore above judgment. Hopefully that will push you, should you decide to engage with women, to approach every relationship with a set of values and willingness to let her go the moment she reveals that she can't or won't be trained to respect them. If you think the phrasing here is insulting to women, get over it. We all train each other in how we're treated. Your values, and importantly your allegiance to them, will determine your effectiveness as a trainer. How you perform when challenged by a woman to live by those values will tell you everything about you that you need to know, which is another way to say that doing this will prove whether your values are really your values. All that said, if you have checked all the boxes leading up to this moment, if you set yourself on the course straight and steady to a path in life that won't be altered by gynocentrism, then you are ready to see how that plays out in relationship life. And the best place to start in that is with what I will call a feminine certainty. Notwithstanding all the Nay-Walters out there and all the women who will swear falsely before the gods that they are the exception, there are obstacles you will encounter with virtually any woman you might select for pair bonding. Note, I did not say some women, or a lot of women, or even most women. I'm saying all women, every last one of them. The anti-generalization police can piss off. I am not altering my language based on the possible existence of a unicorn population best measured in parts per million. Any woman you engage, even anti-feminist women and even women who claim to be anti-gynocentric, are going to challenge you with gynocentrism. That, my friends, is carved into granite. They can't help it. It is part of their nature just as naturally as the gynocentrism that you've had to work hard on overcoming in your own personality. Blaming women for that is pointless. It's like blaming them for being human. That note in particular should resonate with any man who calls himself Red Pill. We are used to people demonizing our natural inclinations, and I don't think it works any better for us than it has for feminists. This doesn't mean to cut slack to gynocentric women, not in the least, but it is a heads up on the benefits of emotional detachment and refusing to paint yourself as a victim. As I said in part one, no victims, just volunteers. That means we don't have to anymore get angry at women for being gynocentric than we have to get angry at a man for his eyes lingering on a woman's tits. It's just what they do. It's on you whether it wrecks your life. How you intervene on all this with a woman can be complicated. We are talking about a wide range of human interactions that express gynocentrism in a myriad of ways. It can be subtle or overt, in your face or sneaky as hell, but it is going to come up regularly. With any relationship you have with any woman that involves sex and commitment, one thing you can count on is that somewhere in her core beliefs is the unshakable certainty that she is supposed to have her way about things. She may not be conscious of it. She may even claim that she's nothing like that, that she's all about sharing and equity and fairness. All I can say is that just because she believes her own brainwashing doesn't mean that you have to. Count on the fact that with enough time with any woman, you will see an increasing tendency to co-opt control of how money is spent, including your money, of all manner of entertainment, of where you spend holidays and who with, of the look and feel of the home if you share one, of friendships and free time activities, even of which relationships with family members are valued and which ones are cast aside. That kind of control is ultimately at the core of every woman's will, even if she doesn't know it, even if she doesn't know that she doesn't know. And left unchecked, it will invariably result in the stifling domination of your life. This can make for tricky ground in a realm where compromise is also very important. And all I can tell you at this point is to trust your gut. Gynocentrism is like porno, very difficult to define, but you damn well know what it is when you see it. When in doubt, say no. Unless you're a mirror version of a completely gynocentric woman, you're still, as a man, more likely to not say that enough than you are to say it too much. In fact, if you've been following my work for any length of time, you know I've long suggested that men bloody well find something to say no to early in a relationship, and that they pay very close attention to what happens when they do. That is where the values-based approach goes from theory to practice. When you tell a woman no, you only want to ask yourself one thing about her reaction to hearing that forbidden word. And that is she vindictive about it? Please listen to this part very carefully. A vindictive woman should be a gone woman. And I mean no matter how slight or limited her retribution is. Notice, I did not encourage you to ask yourself if she was disappointed or bothered by your no. I encouraged you to observe and ask yourself if she was vindictive, even in the slightest way. And if she is, it's time for her to go. Seriously. If she can show the slightest hint of vindictiveness early on, during the brain's fireworks of infatuation, what do you imagine it will be like when she hates you? You see, the vindictiveness crossroads is the one that counts. How she reacts to your addressing your own needs will tell you who she'll be for however long the relationship lasts. She is telling you whether she can handle a no or whether she's suiting up for the battle for your soul. And guys, she'll almost always be doing the latter. When you say no to her and you hear her say, "Fine," in that tone that assures you payback is coming, you don't have to bother waiting for the payback. Your applied values could reasonably send her packing right there. Or if you later hear a no from her and you know in your heart that it was retaliatory, that she just said no as payback to your saying no about something else, it's the same exact result. Gynocentrism is unavoidable and in every woman's DNA. Vindictiveness, while affecting a lot of women, is not a given. And where there's no vindictiveness, there is more hope for a durable relationship. Hope, that is, depending on whether you've still got your balls and your willingness to use them. I don't often do this, but I can use my personal life as an example of what I mean. I'm 16 years into a sturdy, trusting relationship. That didn't happen because my partner isn't gynocentric, or because I've never had to draw lines in the sand on hypergamy and maintaining my own autonomy. We've clashed on those very things a number of times, sometimes bitterly. But after the first year, which included a few near breakups, I noticed one thing stood out about her. There was never any vindictiveness. No payback. No casual expression of the word "fine" that I knew would later turn into an attempt to punish me for having boundaries. No moves to take or harm anything that was mine. We've fought, mind you, on many occasions. And the truth tell, we'll fight again. That's the nature of this beast, and I'd be the last person on earth to fault any man for just shrugging it off and deciding that it was not worth his time. But I would also be far less than honest to say that it has not been worth my time. It has, and then some. Like I've said about a million times now, most men aren't wired to fly solo. There are benefits to functional relationships for men. Even most MGTOW monks take their path as a pragmatic solution, a common sense reaction to the shithole that life can become with the average woman. Not because they wouldn't want a woman if it made more sense. To return one last time to Mike's question, which started this discussion, what does it take to have a normal or rather functional relationship with a woman? And of course, the answer turns out to be mainly about being a functional man. There are some loose ends to this conversation that I have yet to cover, some tips and techniques that I think can help a great deal in selecting women and managing them once the choice is made. I'll be covering that in the third and final part of this series in my next talk. I have to close today with a few words directed at my supporters at Makers Support. Unfortunately, that site has fallen off the rails functionally. I cannot process payments from my supporters there anymore and can't even get the guy who owns the site to respond to my inquiries about it. I think he had good intentions, but I also think he bit off more than one geek could chew in trying to make his idea work on his own. So with that, I'm terminating my account with Maker Support and asking my supporters to please either return to support me on Patreon or to try and use any of the links below to start a subscription to my work via PayPal. And while I'm at it, I want to remind you that you too can help ensure the work I do keeps coming by becoming a patron through the link below. I meet with all my patrons who want to on most Saturdays, and you are welcome to attend those meetings with Patreon support in any amount. You can also support me with a subscription or one-time donation through the links below. All donations in any amount are greatly appreciated. As always, guys, I hope you've enjoyed the talk today, even if you haven't. And we'll see you next time.